It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strainchamps. Could you forgive the one person who hurt you most?
I'd done my best to outrun my past. I'd filled my schedule around the clock to never have to dwell on what had happened to me.
Journalist Thordis Elva, and a word of warning, this story deals with sexual violence.
One day, I just had a fight with a loved one and I stormed out of the door in tears and I drove to a cafe. And I sat down and I pulled out a notebook. I wanted to doodle in it to calm my nerves. And to my surprise, out of the pen streamed this letter that broke this silence. And it was a detailed account of what had happened to me, what Tom was responsible for doing to me. And I expected a lot of outcomes. The only thing that I didn't expect was the reply that I then got.
I distinctly remember being on night shift at a drug rehabilitation service. There was a certain chill when seeing Thordis's name in my inbox. It was a chronological detailing of that night and what Thordis had experienced and what I'd subjected her to. The first effect of that email was to shatter a definition I had in my mind of that night of being sex. I had not identified what I did as rape. It was a horror. So my response was to reply and say, "Where to from here?"
Tom Stranger and Thordis Elva met when they were teenagers. They fell in love, became boyfriend and girlfriend. And then one night, they went home after a party and he raped her. And afterwards, they didn't talk about it. Tom moved to Australia. Thordis lives in Iceland. They were pretty much out of touch for a decade until Thordis wrote that letter. And they struck up a correspondence. Over the course of several years, they exchanged hundreds of emails. Why?
This is something that's commonly shared by other survivors of sexual violence. We're all haunted by the question of why. Why did you do this to me? That's one of the questions that I posed to Tom, and I also wanted to make him aware of the consequences of his actions on my life, because it was really painful to face the fact that the first time I gave my heart away, it resulted in abuse. But all of this was done in an attempt to heal.
Tom, what kept you invested in staying in touch with Thordis through these years of emails? Because, you know, I imagine this must have been complicated. It must have been really painful talking with a woman you'd assaulted years ago. You could have stopped replying. You could have just disappeared and avoided these email conversations. Why did you keep going?
Yeah. The first process was for me to comprehend my actions as rape and to understand that it was entirely not consenting, that I'd not asked for consent. And it was a beginning of an analysis of my actions that night. And as clearly as I can state it, in terms of the why, because it's also been important for myself to know the why of that night and why I did what I did. And there was a sense of deservingness, a sense that when a boy goes out partying with his girlfriend, he's entitled to sex. And I took that attitude to a very dark place.
So this correspondence alone was extraordinary, but 8 years after it started, Thordis, you proposed meeting in person with the intent of reaching forgiveness. What did that mean to you, forgiveness?
I did not want my life to be dictated by the violence that I endured. I am more than what happened to me. So I realized that after 8 years of writing, that was a fantastic mode to exchange thoughts and questions that had haunted me. But at the end of the day, it is a silent format. And there's something really empowering about giving voice to your experiences, about speaking your truth. So I suggested that we would meet in the middle because we lived on opposite ends of the planet, with Australia and Iceland being as far away as it can be. So I suggested we'd meet in the middle to literally face our past once and for all, with the hope that something constructive could be built out of a deep pain, that something good could ultimately come out of it, something that could be of use, not just to me personally, but hopefully be a contribution to something bigger.
Tom, why did you agree to meet, and what did forgiveness mean to you?
Yeah, as discussed, the notion of forgiveness was not a traditional and almost romanticized notion of forgiveness. It was not set as a destination to find during the week in Cape Town. It was very much about understanding the past. But this also had value for me in that I knew that it was important to hear face to face what that night had meant for Thortis. And it would also give me an opportunity to air things that I'd held on to as well.
Mm-hmm. So you both traveled across the world to this in-between place, Cape Town, South Africa. You met, I can't imagine what it was like seeing each other for the first time. But then you spent a week having these conversations with each other. What was the first one? What did you talk about?
Well, you're right. It was a very fraught moment seeing Tom again for me. The first conversation was actually quite mundane. We started by going back into the past and into our childhoods. I wanted to know where the boy that decided to do what Tom did to me that night when I was 16, I wanted to know where he came from. I wanted to know what shaped his ideas. I wanted to know what his life had been like up until that point. And I also wanted to understand what it had been like to be him after that, to live with what he did, because I certainly knew what my story had been.
So it sounds like part of what needed to happen for you, for both of you, is seeing yourself outside of the box of victimhood and seeing Tom outside of the box of perpetrator. Not to say that he didn't rape you, but it sounds like somehow you needed to see him as a whole, complete, bigger person.
Well, the thing is, I think that part of the problem when it comes to sexual violence is this one-dimensional, stereotypical view that we often have of those who perpetrate it. I like to call it the monster myth. When I was 16 and this happened to me, I thought that perpetrators were armed lunatics that lurked, you know, in bushes and jumped at you. They certainly weren't someone that you cared for or trusted, and they certainly weren't your boyfriend. So I think that stereotypical notion actually held me back from realizing what had happened to me. So I had this senseless pain, but I couldn't put it into perspective until later when I knew more about sexual violence.
Tom, you guys spent that week in Cape Town together, having a lot of conversations, walking around, seeing things. What was the most difficult conversation you had?
Without a doubt, it was the conversation that we had on the third day we were there. We reached that night, December 17th, 1996, and walked through the events of that night.
What surprised you? Because you guys had emailed and you'd thought about this for years. What did you learn that you didn't know?
Yeah, I think it was about the anger. I think it was about the power of sitting there and seeing it in person, seeing essentially in the room what this had meant for her.
There was a storm in Cape Town that day, so the weather was quite dramatic. Scaffolding was blown off buildings, trees were uprooted, and the glass was actually quivering, like in the window pane, while we were having this conversation. So there was this quite dramatic backdrop, which weirdly mirrored this difficult topic.
This was the culmination of a conversation that had lasted years. So, yes, there was a pensiveness and a fear, but also a sense that this was the one occasion to be really raw and just revealing and to not soften or to hold anything back and to just hear thought this, and for me to also say out loud that word that I'd struggled with for a long time, and to acknowledge that it was rape and to take it on and to voice that it was mine, that authorities didn't do anything wrong, and that it was my act and due to my choices. Authorities, she said, "What did you do to me?" essentially. And I repeated the words, "I raped you."
This sounds incredibly painful for both of you for very different reasons. I'm just trying to, like, how do you even say goodbye after that? What did you do?
It was late, and I felt a bit vulnerable being alone in a strange city after dark. So Tom accompanied me to a nearby restaurant.
You didn't eat dinner together, did you?
We did.
That night?
Yes.
And I understand in isolation, Anne, that might sound incredibly strange. As Thordis said, there was a mundaneness. It was a certain emptiness after having that conversation. It was getting some food. It was talking about something else to a degree.
Mm. You know, one of the things I wonder is emotions don't always do what we want them to. You know, just because you want to forgive, just because you want to let go of the anger, doesn't mean that you can. So what did you have to do in order to genuinely forgive?
For me, it was very infused with the transference of responsibility. The whole process for me was very much handing that over to Tom and the wholehearted way in which he received it. That had a lasting effect on me. And I must say that I left Cape Town feeling lighter than I did before. There's something really powerful about having the deepest pain of your life acknowledged, spoken out loud, and listened to. And I'm not saying that survivors are dependent on their perpetrators for that, in that purpose. We can all be that person. Mm-hmm. We can all be the person that acknowledges another human being's hurt and says, "I believe you." I read somewhere that you should try and be the person that you needed when you were younger. And back when I was a teenager, I would have needed to know this, that the shame wasn't mine, that there's hope after an event like this, that you can even find happiness and your sense of self and your voice and your power. So that, I guess, is my answer.
Thordis Elva and Tom Stranger. For more about them, check out their book South of Forgiveness, a true story of rape and responsibility. And Tom wanted us to mention that he's donating his share of the book's profits to a women's shelter in Iceland.